The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's OrganifiShop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 and 1340 AM Fox Sports. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself. Wizard, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, man?
Not that much, man. A lot's going on in the world of professional wrestling. We're getting big, major news. WWE has a new pay-per-view coming out in October 28th, Evolution. And this is an all-women's pay-per-view. And before we get into the all-women's pay-per-view thing, I laugh at the guys on the internet, those who think they're smart and very intelligent, those who want to come out to a TNA did it first, but we say it all the time. Unless the WWE does it, it doesn't make a difference. It's going to be on a bigger scale. It's not like TNA did their pay-per-view on a Sunday. They did a pay-per-view that was taped a long time ago. They didn't have the type of caliber girls that WWE had. It's just, they didn't make a big deal out of it. So when those guys come out, TNA did it first. Look, it doesn't matter if TNA did it. WCW's out of business. TNA's out of business. WWE is the only one still around. They have a pay-per-view called Evolution, October 28th. What's your thoughts on, you know, the pay-per-view, first of all, how far women has gone, and Stephanie McMahon making all the announcements? Because I heard that debacle as well.
I mean, I think they're striking while the iron's hot, in the sense of you know, being able to, you know, capitalize on it being, you know, they have the roster right now to be able to put this on. They're not going to delay, you know, the proceedings. So why not just go ahead and do it? If you're going to do it, do it. I mean, at this point, I think it's a good move. I do.
I think it's a great move. I think it's a good move for the women movement that we're in. More women are watching wrestling. More young girls are watching wrestling. More young people want to get into wrestling. Young women want to get into wrestling. They're doing it at the Nassau Coliseum. You know, holds 14,000 people. My only question is, can they sell out all 14,000 seats for the Nassau Coliseum?
You know what? How do I want to put this? For the sake of it being the first, I think they will.
Okay. I don't even care what the card is. I think the card, I think we'll see a lot of nostalgia stuff. I think we'll see some dream matches. I think we see some indie females. We already know we're going to see some NXT. We're going to see the finals of the Mae Young Classic Part 2. We're going to see the women's titles, both titles, Raw and SmackDown titles, up for grabs. You know, I think it's going to be a great pay-per-view. I think I put the question on our social media page. You know, will we see a female broadcasters? Will we see a female referee? They know they have one right now. Jessie K is the only female referee that's on the roster right now, but it's 2 months. They can get another one. I personally like to see Renee Young being head of the broadcasting team because I think she could do it. And give her
who is it going to be, Renee and who?
Renee and Lita, maybe, or Renee and Trish, or Renee and
Beth Phoenix, maybe.
Beth Phoenix.
I mean, only thing is though, I think honestly, here's the thing. Yeah, that it could be. I think we get Trish on the card. I definitely think we get either Trish versus Lita, or we get like a Trish versus Mickey, something like that. They're gonna get.
Yeah.
Again,
give me Trish versus Charlotte.
You know what, though? I feel like Charlotte's going to be in the title picture. That's the only reason why we don't get Trish versus Charlotte. That's the only reason why I think we don't.
I think we get the Bella Twins.
I think, you know what? You could do the Bellas against the Iconics, for real.
Bella against Iconics, or way things went on SmackDown this week, we may get Brie versus Maryse.
You know what? You could. That's interesting. You know, that you could. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay.
So, I mean, it's so many possibilities here, and I love the fact that they open it up, and they also talk about it. You got Ronda there. You got Alexa Bliss. You got all the women. I mean, you got all the women on the roster that came out and to make this big announcement. I'm glad Stephanie McMahon makes the women announcements. Why not? She's a executive of the WWE company. Vince didn't need to make that announcement. Triple H didn't need to make that announcement. Let Stephanie continue to make these announcements and women barriers. I see. And then the question I ask for you is, do we eventually get a one-hour all-women show if this pay-per-view is successful?
That's going to depend on the pay-per-view being successful. And I'm not sighing because of the notion of that. I think it could be really good, but the pay-per-view has to be successful.
I totally agree. I think the pay-per-view has to be successful, and I think it has to sustain some kind of success for a long period of time before we get the one-hour show. And then the next question would be, where would you put it at, and how would you tape it? Would you do that full show? It's so many questions into that one.
Yeah.
Right now, we had a pay-per-view, Evolution, new pay-per-view, Evolution, October 28th, Nassau Coliseum, with the WWE all-female pay-per-view. I'm interested to see 14,000 people. How is that crowd mixed? You know, how is the crowd, the mixture of the crowd? More women, more female, more men. I'm just interested to see. I'm a big proponent of women wrestling. I think it will do well. I think there'll be a lot of people coming from the indie scene coming in. I think there'll be people all over the world that will be involved with this Evolution. And I think it will be a big deal, a very big deal for this. And WWE is going to do as WWE does and make it a big deal. Also this week, we found out who Brock Lesnar's opponent would be at SummerSlam. We found out that Brock Lesnar would take on none other than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns defeated Bobby Lashley this week. So we found out that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar would go at it again at SummerSlam. I'm not even mad at this. People are like, oh, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, they're going at it for the 15th time. But it's different dynamics to this story now. Different dynamics to this story. It's different pieces that's out there. You got Braun Strowman with a briefcase. Well, it right now is Braun Strowman. It could be Kevin Owens with a briefcase. We don't know because Braun Strowman is taking on Kevin Owens at SummerSlam for the briefcase. So you have so many dynamics of who could actually walk away from SummerSlam as your Universal Champion. Your thoughts on Braun and Roman facing each other again?
Either Roman finally gets it, or they're doing this to where Roman never beats Brock. If Roman doesn't do it this time, I don't think he ever beats Brock, ever.
Yeah. I think there's, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, there's different scenarios. I can actually see Brock Lesnar winning this and then getting cashed in on. And it goes to your point, Roman never beating Brock. And then Roman becoming the champion. And then when Brock returns, he faces Roman again. And then Roman finally gets the win over Brock. I can see it going that way. I can see it going several different ways here. If the fans are mad, if Brock wins, are you really mad? Not really. He can't go to UFC until January. So he could potentially be champion until January. But do you want to wait that long, you know, till the Rumble to take it off of him? The build up for WrestleMania. So, I mean, so many questions will be answered at this SummerSlam. So then we also have the WWE Championship. We know the match there. Samoa Joe will be taking on AJ Styles. And how much better will this match be in WWE than it was in TNA? Just because it's in a WWE product. And no, I'm not bashing on TNA. I liked the TNA product back then. I had many friends in the TNA product. So those who are listening think, oh, I'm just a WWE homer. Sorry, I'm not that. But the matches that Joe I just think in the WWE, there's some things that their programs are just a little bit better. And I think this one will be one that's a little bit better. AJ Styles is different now. Samoa Joe is different now. Their levels are different. So I think the match will be that much higher. What are your thoughts on AJ Styles taking on Samoa Joe at SummerSlam, which you'll be there?
Yeah, this is the same match, not the same match, but this is the same type of match that they put on SummerSlam every year, because you've got to have one of those pure matches. If you think about it, the last couple of years, AJ fought John Cena. That was your, like, match on the card. Last year, was AJ champion at that time? No. I'm trying to think was it AJ and Kevin last year? Yeah, it was. I think it was AJ and Kevin. So they try to get you, you know, one of those decent matches in there. AJ and Joe is going to be exactly what everybody's thinking it's going to be. It won't disappoint. It'll live up to all of the hype. Excuse me. And anybody that questions that, just go watch all of their TNA stuff. WWE's capitalizing on a bigger scale for a bigger championship. Just that simple. And it's going to deliver.
It is going to deliver. SummerSlam from the Barclays Center, August 19th, I believe. It is definitely going to deliver. WWE setting this card up to be great. We see if you watch SmackDown from this past Tuesday night, you can see the makings of Daniel Bryan versus The Miz that would happen at SummerSlam. I wanted this to be at WrestleMania, but I can see why it is at SummerSlam. And, you know, do you think it's too soon for Daniel Bryan and The Miz, or is it just the right timing?
Here's why I say it's the right time. It's the right time because I think with the timing of Daniel Bryan coming back, I don't think there was enough storylines to pass around to keep those two away from each other. You know what I'm saying? The storyline is so white hot. You almost, as good as it would be to, you know, prolong that all the way to WrestleMania, I feel like it would lose all of the steam. It's weird. You run that. I don't feel like it. It runs the risk of losing all the steam if you don't, you know what I'm saying? If you don't capitalize on that then, in which they waited long enough, you got to figure Daniel Bryan came back right before WrestleMania, and it's SummerSlam now. So it's been like 5 months. They did enough.
Yeah, they did enough. Hey, that's our recap for this week. Our rundown for this week. I know y'all wanted us to talk about James Ellsworth being fired and all that. But anyway, James Ellsworth is out of WWE for right now. I still think it'll work. I don't think he's actually fired per se, but we'll see in the WWE for all you Ellsworth marks out there. Hey, when we come back off of this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna wrap up what we've been talking about for the last 3-4 weeks. 1997 and WWE Attitude Era.
That's right.
In the year 1997. In the year 1997, the last two pay-per-views of the year, then we know that these two pay-per-views really set the trend for where WWE was going in 1998. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh, handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As we mentioned before we went to commercial break, we were talking about 1997, what it meant to us as wrestling fans in 1997. If you missed any part, this is our fourth part. If you missed any parts, go check it out on YouTube or iTunes. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Listen to it. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think about part one, part two, part three. And here we are at part four. We're November 9th, 1997, Survivor Series from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Most people know what this is. If you don't know what this is, I don't know if you're a true wrestling fan. This is the night the Montreal Screwjob happened, took place in the WWE. Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels. Wizard, what are you thinking prior to this match. All the build-up between Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, we finally get it. We finally get it on the major pay-per-view. We talked about it in the last show. It was either Shawn Michaels or The Undertaker in the pay-per-views. Shawn was hurt. Bret was hurt. We never could get the two together. Now we finally got the two here in this pay-per-view. As a Shawn Michaels fan, what were you thinking?
So at this time, even in its most primitive stages, the internet was still kind of buzzing. The word was still kind of getting around that Bret was ready to leave. At this time, though, and even looking back at it, as we've been doing, you know, with this stuff, Shawn was so white hot as a heel that it just seemed like, I don't know how Shawn loses. Even then, and looking back at it now, and I try to look at it in the sense of, you know, on purposely blocking your mind out as if you don't know what's going on. But Shawn was so, and this is unbiased, and everybody knows, Shawn's still kayfabe to me. I don't care. but as far as just looking at it, you're really looking. I'm like, yo, Shawn is like the man. And like I said, from the time Pillman passed away, it just seemed, actually, but even before that, that was an addition. But from the time Bret won it at SummerSlam, fast forward to Ground Zero when he wasn't in the main event as champion, then fast forward to Bad Blood when he didn't even defend the belt as champion. I think he was in a tag match.
Right. And right there, that's where Shawn wins the opportunity to become the number one contender by defeating The Undertaker in the first Hell in a Cell match.
Right. Like, look at the booking. You hit it right on the head. That's what I'm saying. Look at the booking of the two. The booking wasn't even strong. And like I said, Pillman passing away, it just seemed like the Hart Foundation were running flat to me. It was still hot because you still had Bret versus Shawn, which very much so even back then was on coming off on camera as real as it could get. But it just felt like it was losing steam. It just felt very complacent.
And you mentioned the heat. They didn't like each other. They wasn't best friends.
Right.
A lot of things have transpired backstage. You know, we still in the era of the click, more say. You know, they you feel like Hunter and Shawn have a lot of pull with Vince backstage. So there's a lot of things that are going on. And then on top of that, as you mentioned, the rumors of Bret Hart going to WCW, other words, jumping ship, just like Scott Hall did, just like Kevin Nash did, to jump ship and go down south. It was a lot of rumbling out there because WWE could not get Bret Hart's contract done. Couldn't get it done. We hear a lot of stories. Maybe Bret didn't want to get it done. Maybe Vince, whatever. It didn't get done. But Bret is your champion. Now, we got to go back to this because this makes a big difference in what happens at this pay-per-view. We know that Medusa really, she messed it up because she had took the women's title over to WCW and threw it in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vince is thinking that I don't want this to happen again. Not knowing, I don't know. And see, this is always, it's not about loyalty to Bret. It's not, I always told everybody, it's not about loyalty to Bret, in my opinion. It had really nothing to do with Bret. It had everything to do with the WWE title.
Yeah. If Bret had taken that world championship over to WCW, we wouldn't be watching WWF right now. I firmly believe that.
No.
I absolutely believe that. We would not be it would have ruined the company. You could, granted, the physical belt is just a prop, but still, you show up on WCW television with the WWF championship. No.
Already with WCW winning in ratings, it would have just drew more people over in the day and age we was in. And I know somebody's out there listening, but Bret saying, "Oh, but Ric Flair did it. It's two totally different things.
People don't realize Ric Flair owned that belt to an extent. He owned the property of it. I mean, because it was something along the lines of he never got the deposit back on it or something like that. So he owned the property, which was the belt.
Also, he was never going to throw that belt in the trash can. And Brett takes that belt over to WCW, that belt is going into a garbage can. Eric Bischoff's going to make fun of it. The NWO probably mark NWO on it. It probably becomes the hardcore title. It will be something that we would have watched forever and ever and still talk about till this day if that title. I don't care if the roles were reversed, if it was Shawn Michaels who wanted to go to WCW and he was the champion, that title was not going to WCW, regardless of who had it. Whether it was the Undertaker, whoever it was in that championship match, and they said they wasn't going to do the job and they were going to WCW, that title would have been a Montreal screw job against somebody else.
Absolutely. The screw job, I don't care who was on the roster, and especially because as you see it happen to Bret Hart, if it was anybody in that position, he would have screwed them too. He'd have screwed Shawn, he'd have screwed Hunter, he'd have screwed Shamrock, he'd have screwed Bret, all of them. Taker may be the only one you kind of question.
Taker might be the only one, but Taker would have did business.
Yeah.
See, the problem is everybody talks about this. Bret didn't want to do business, according to stories. I wasn't there, you wasn't there. According to what we pieced this thing together, multiple times, multiple versions of the story is that Vince McMahon gave Bret Hart multiple options of what could happen with the WWF title.
Yeah.
And that he rejected every one of those options.
Yeah.
So when Vince comes out and said Bret screwed Bret, I can agree with Vince by saying Bret did screw Bret, do the job. And that what makes him more important, his argument is, I didn't want to lose in Canada. Well, guess what? It wouldn't have been the first time he would have lost in Canada.
Right.
It wouldn't have been the first time. Well, he said he would lose it the next night. You can't guarantee that.
Yeah, he was already already not working under a deal at that by that point. By that point, right. His deal was done. Can't trust it.
And taking to effect, Lex Luger had just showed up at the night before at a WWE pay-per-view.
Yep, two years before.
Right, and that Monday we saw him at WCW Nitro. So Vince couldn't take Bret's word for it that, I'll be here tomorrow, just let me lose it on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, no, not happening.
You know, and so we know what happened. You know, sharpshooter happens, the bell is rung, and the screwjob happens. Now, look at all the, and we got to look at this too, because the point, Earl Hebner had to keep this a secret. Nobody could know what was actually going on.
Right.
They had to do this, and Earl takes he becomes the fall guy for this, and so does Vince McMahon. But if we don't get the screw job, do we get the attitude error? Do we get the evil Vince McMahon?
I don't think we get the evil Vince. I honestly don't. I think that was so organic for that to come out like that. We don't get that.
Because they've been talking to him for years about getting on camera and doing all this, and he was like, nah, nah, nah. So eventually we get the Vince, we get that, which kind of lit the fire with it, as my grandma would say, the kindling wood to keep the fire going for the Attitude Era. You became an instant heel for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of worked itself out. Back to Earl real quick. This guy does a job for the company, you know, to really be putting this up in harm's way, be a company man. And a few years later, he's out of the company.
Right.
No loyalty. I'm just no loyalty. But as the story goes, many people in the backstage area was hot because of the screw job. We know the infamous scene, Bret Hart writing WCW in the sky, spitting on Vince McMahon, Hunter and Shawn quickly leaving the arena.
Yeah, that's they.
And they see you're a Shawn Michaels guy, and I want to ask you this:
mm-hmm.
You're a Shawn Michaels guy. Did you lose any respect for Shawn when he was like,
nope.
I didn't know what was going on? I didn't
nope.
know.
Because at that time, not until Shawn came out later, I mean, even then I didn't lose any respect. I was always going to side with, here's my thing, not because it was Shawn, not because, here's my thing. Even back then, I honestly believe Shawn had nothing to do with it back then. But even after it came out, I understood business is business. You got to figure that man, Vince McMahon, his entire company is on the line under somebody who, you know, to an extent, the way it comes off, in which we don't know Bret's side, we'll never know Bret's side, you know, in a sense of how he really was feeling. But on the surface, it comes off as a guy who is so invested in his character that it comes off selfish that he didn't want to do business. So, in my opinion, I don't know if he was trying not to have that happen to him for, you know, to save his legacy or to, you know, not damage himself his image going into another company. But at this point, Bret Hart showing up in WCW after losing the WWF Championship, he's losing no steam, in my opinion. I know all of this is in hindsight now, but I don't think he's losing those teams. So, no, I definitely didn't lose any respect for Shawn. Shawn did as any employee should do. A, he listened to his boss. It wasn't anything to where it was life-threatening to anybody. He listened to his boss. He followed his instructions. He called it a day. So, no.
You know, with that, we know that Bret Hart goes to WCW. Bret Hart's in WCW. His career in WCW was lackluster at best. I mean, he won titles in WCW. You know, but he wasn't the same Bret Hart.
Right.
And some can say a lot of factors.
But that wasn't his fault. That was booking. That wasn't his fault at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what's his fault. Some of it was booking, I think his mind were other places. Remember, he still had his brother. The lawsuit was still going on with WWE about, you know, the situation with Owen Hart passing. I think Bret had a lot of things. I think Bret had a lot of things on his mind. I think Bret realized that being in WCW, which many wrestlers said at the time, was unorganized. For whatever reason. Whatever reason. Yeah, I think he really wanted to be back in the North.
I don't think he ever wanted to leave, realistically.
He might not have left. He might not have left if the screw job never happened. He might have signed. But
I don't think he ever left.
I think at that moment, his hand was forced. When he got screwed, he acted out of emotion.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
If he doesn't leave, what happens? Do we have the revolution that we have in WWE?
I mean, all of this is in hindsight, but maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe Bret needed to go. But something else big happened on that card.
The more and more it's looking like it.
Something else big happened on that card, other than the screw job, that will really set things in motion for the Attitude Era. And that was Stone Cold Steve Austin defeating Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, absolutely.
That was another major thing. Everybody talks about the Montreal Screwjob, but they forget that Austin beat Owen. Austin's back now from the neck injury.
Right.
It's the Intercontinental title back from Owen Hart, who had won it previously in the Intercontinental Championship tournament. If you don't know what the tournament was, listen to part 2-3 of the show, and where we talked about the Intercontinental Championship Tournament, which Owen Hart wins, which now when Austin wins the Intercontinental Championship, we start getting a feud. This is one of my favorite feuds ever. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock.
the earlier version. I 100% agree. That was a lost, that's a lost storyline. Because it faded away, you know, so quickly after the fact. That one's huge. That one's huge. Also, even as short as it was, as short as that feud was, because it only lasted, what, a month? Month and a half at best?
Yeah.
It was very entertaining. And you know what? I love Austin. I'm going to lend most of that credit to The Rock, though, because he's the one that really had to carry his, he had to carry his weight in that. So, and I mean that in the sense of proving himself, because he still was virtually an unknown at that point.
He was, but the vignettes that he did for the Intercontinental title, those vignettes, the back and forth, John, that's when we started to see The Rock could be a major player, could be a major superstar. You started seeing the Rocky Maivia from months earlier in 97 had almost tremendously gone away.
Oh, yeah, he was gone. He was fully The Rock by then.
He was fully The Rock, but there was no Rocky Maivia chance. You didn't even almost forgot about the fact that he came in as Rocky Maivia.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, because of what he did with The Nation, because of this Intercontinental title feud with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's what's missing sometimes as we talk about current wrestling. Some of those vignettes outside of the arena and mm-hmm. that really establish who a character is and what a character can do is what set this feud to the next level.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, it was very much so a situation where we saw the evolution of a lot of things, and great job pointing out Rock's change, because there was no traces of Rocky Maivia anymore by then.
Nah, it wasn't. And, you know, and that transition, that the Rock and Stone Cold feud lasts, as you mentioned, not too long. It transitioned into the D-Generation X pay-per-view.
Yeah.
One, the match in December, which was In Your House. It transitioned to that pay-per-view, and which Austin actually won the match.
Right.
And I had to go, I'm like, man, but I remember Rock being the champion, but Austin actually won the match. Rock didn't win until the next night, or Austin didn't surrender until the next night on Monday Night Raw.
Right. In which it was weird, because this is one of those times, it's weird because it was rare, if not the first time ever, that they allowed an actual surrendering to go through. Because usually somebody, storyline-wise, somebody gives up a belt, they're like, oh, no, can't happen that way. We got to have a tournament. It's like, they really just let it happen.
Yeah. It just went over and it happened, you know. And from this D-Generation X pay-per-view, we had a lot of things. We had Shawn Michaels who took on, and we talked about this guy a lot in our first part, our second part, Ken Shamrock. Shamrock has been in the company less than almost a year now, and he's already been in a couple title matches. He takes on Shawn Michaels here. He wins by disqualification, but he put on a great match. Well, Shawn Michaels made Ken Shamrock look good, whatever way you want to see it. It probably is the latter, but nonetheless, good match here at this pay-per-view. And Ken Shamrock, you knew that he was going to be a player in the WWE, that he was going to be around for a while. And, you know, so you had those type of things that was going on. Shawn Michaels and Triple H in China, D-Generation X, as they called themselves, was starting to run things in the company. It was really starting to pick up. You could see the intensity. You started to see the attitude, pun intended. You started to see the edginess of the WWE closing out to 1997. WWE Incorporated tried to keep up with WCW, the WWF Light Heavyweight Championship. Takumi Kanoshu beating Lawler's boy, Brian Christopher. You know, so you started to see WWE started to change different things. A little bit to get more edgy. They started bringing in superstars. This was with a pay-per-view where we had Butterbean, who came in. Him and Mark Merrill had a tough man match, boxing match, whatever you want to call it. you know, where Butterbean came in. So you start to see WWE starting to turn a corner here with Bret Hart gone and with all these other people that are definitely out of the way, and Shawn Michaels and Triple H is really taking over right now. So-called Steve Austin is picking up steam. He's about at 70 miles per hour right now. He ain't at the 100 yet, but he's getting there to where he is getting to be the white hot that he was. You know, and we mentioned The Rock is coming into his own. So those guys that we say are the pillars, as you mentioned in previous episodes, the pillars of WWE, starting to take shape and form.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's interesting, and I'm assuming you're about to lead into something else big that's happened at that pay-per-view. If not, I'll lead into it because I think you know. Well, there's two things. One, definitely a shout out to Triple H versus Sergeant Slaughter, and especially shout out to Sergeant Slaughter putting over Triple H, because he did a good. That was an underlying storyline that really had some steam to it with DX and Sergeant Slaughter, and so that match, when it came across, very entertaining and it was done very well.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back background, some of our listeners, that you go back and watch on the WWE Network, to the point where Shawn Michaels would win the windshield wiper, face guard, Sergeant Slaughter all the time. On Monday Night Raw, everything you could do to Sergeant Slaughter, Shawn Michaels and Triple H did in China, to China low blows to Sergeant Slaughter. You know, all that was leading up to this boot camp match that Triple H and Sergeant Slaughter had.
Yeah, so it was just done great. It was done so well. Because this is where you really started to see Hunter's range. And that Hunter was going to be he was already a star at this point. But you really knew Hunter had something, you know? And then the other thing that I wanted to allude to was in the main event. You know, this is where they kind of phased Shamrock out. You could kind of tell at this point they pushed Shamrock, you know, for a long time, pushed him real, real high. And then they're not cooling him off, kind of taking him back to a different level. And then you insert Owen Hart, who's the last person. I remember seeing that, and that was the last person I expected to attack Shawn Michaels, the last. And that was a big deal because you were used to seeing WCW pull a lot of these out-of-nowhere type stunts that, oh, my goodness, so-and-so is here. I can't believe it. For WWE to have that Owen Hart run in felt very real. Especially after what you just saw 3 weeks before.
And that's where I meant when it was turning a corner, because that brought their realism into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
This day and age, people still thought it was kayfabe. We were still living in the kayfabe age. You know, it was still living in the kayfabe. Everybody hadn't seen the curtain call, or they knew what it was, but hadn't really seen it. You still live in kayfabe, and you knew his brother had just left. You knew that Shawn Michaels had just screwed the Hart family. Had screwed the Hart family and Bret Hart, and why not the little brother come out there and try to protect or stand up the family name?
Right, absolutely.
That was good writing there.
Absolutely. I thought it was done very well to where you kind of didn't, you know, you were kind of like, whoa, Owen Hart is just a bad guy. I think I'm going to cheer for him. That was pretty dope what just happened, so. But kudos to the creative team for that one. They did very well.
They did very, very, very well here. You know, you got this pay-per-view in the whole 1997, you saw a transformation of a lot of guys. You saw the transformation of Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Remember, started 97, Triple H was still doing the Hunter Hearst Helmsley gimmick.
Absolutely he was.
And this transition was, he was in the doghouse. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall leaving to go to WCW, and because of the curtain call.
Yep.
So by the end of 97, Triple H is almost, he's I'm gonna say he's out of the doghouse.
Yeah, by this time, yeah. By this time, he's out
of the doghouse. Sean is bringing him out. They're getting a lot more TV time. The whole Hunter Hearst Helmsley gimmick is gone out the window.
Yeah, big time. He was just regular Triple H by this time.
It's regular Triple H at this time, and DX is getting ready to run wild on the WWE. WWF. Sorry, still WWF at this time.
Right. So that pretty much takes us through December, and that wraps up 97. So, what are your final thoughts on 1997?
97 was the year that changed WWE. Changed WWE added the Attitude Era. I know they was not winning the rating race, but the company changed for the better. And some of the things that when we go back now and look at hindsight, the questions about Bret Hart, could have if he would have stayed, would we have gotten the Shawn Michaels and Triple H that we now currently have with the Generation X that we have? Well, we got the Owen Hart feud. Would the Undertaker had transitioned into what he had transitioned into towards the 1990 in the 97? You know, my biggest question there was. WWE needed some leaders in 1997, and they found some leaders. They found some young guns who was going to come up, not young in age, but young in the business. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock was coming up at the time. Your Ken Shamrocks, not to mention some of your older guys, Savio Vega, your Ron Simmons at the time, the Farooks that was there. You found some gems with D'Lo Brown that was there. So that was coming up and coming up in the ranks. We found in 1997, you found Sable in 1997, which was the killer in the Attitude Era. So with 97 really transitioned where we at now in the world of professional wrestling. We're 21 years removed from 1997, and we still talk about some of these wrestlers today on a regular basis. Your Rocks, your Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not only that, one guy we didn't really mention too much of that had a big role in 1997 was Jeff Jarrett.
I guess you're right. Late 97. Between WCW and WWE in late 97. I give you that.
Jeff Jarrett was, he was always in that mix in the picture. You know, he had some big matches there in 97. He was still doing some things within the company. Jeff Jarrett, who just went into the WWE Hall of Fame, the class of 2018. But it was a good year for him in the WWE in 1997. You know, he was one of the players. It seemed like the WWE TV was moving up in 97. It's starting to pick up a little bit of steam where, you know what, these guys may not fall over. You know what, I need to watch both. Because I don't know about you as we wrap up. In 97, did you feel like in the middle of 97, beginning of 97, did you feel like you had to watch both? To me,
WCW, though, remember, though, at that time, though, G-Lo, WCW was giving us the replays. So you were able to get both.
I was just mainly focused on WCW. I wanted to see what happened next. I wanted to see who was going to show up next. I wanted to see who got out the limousine that was pulled up to the arena.
Yeah, you know, my guy was in WWE, and that's where I was. I mean, I can't say that. I was watching both, like, faithfully. I was fully aware of what was going on in both. If I had to make a choice at that time, Shawn was in WWE. That's where I was.
Yeah. And I caught up with both. I watched. I didn't always watch both, but I recorded both. And if somebody said, oh, something happened on WWE, I would go and watch it.
Yeah.
Until the steam start picking up more so. And like, oh, you know what? WWE is getting ready to move on. But 97 was a good year. I enjoyed 1997. I hope y'all enjoyed us talking about 1997. What is your main takeaway from 1997 WWE?
I'll point out something that you mentioned earlier that you said that was the change for WWE. I think that was a change for wrestling because the things that happened in 97, had they not happened, we'd be probably watching WCW right now. And I think 97 really showed what a man or a company would do when it truly has its back against the wall. WWE was going to go out of business, in my opinion. If things don't roll their way, the way they did, they're out of business. I really think so.
But you know what? I think even with WCW, if they would have won, I still think WCW goes out of business.
Yeah, just because of the politics and everything and the backstage, you know, doing corporate wise, I believe it.
And I think Vince somehow makes his way back into professional wrestling if he had gone out of business.
I can agree with that.
I think we would have still had WWF or WWE, but it may not have been on the where it was at because it had a reboot per se. And we don't know where the guys would have been, but I think WCW would have went out. Man, you know what? We might have been talking about ECW.
Wouldn't that have been something, man? Wouldn't that have been something?
Vince could have put his money in ECW, and ECW could have rose up to what it was. And the WWF name could have been gone.
Yeah.
And he was already pumping money in ECW anyway, according to many of the people.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, that says that the WWE was pumping money. Because Vince was giving ECW money. But nonetheless, you know, Wizard, I enjoyed reviewing 1997 with you, man. We got to do this again next year, coming up next week. You know, we got to go ahead and then move on to another era in professional wrestling and WWE. I want to say thank you for listening to us, and always check out part 1, 2, and 3. If you missed any of this, go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, leave a 5-star review. It really helps us out. If you're listening to us on YouTube, go ahead, hit the subscribe button, hit that little bell on the side so you get notified every time we post a new video. I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Organifi, which, you know, we heard the promo code earlier. Check out Wrestling15 at OrganifiShop.com. You'll get your green juice. You are get yourself in shape this year. And definitely get yourself in shape this year. Organifi, OrganifiShop.com, promo code Wrestling15.
Give the spelling for that so everybody knows how to spell the site and how to get to it.
Organifi, OrganifiShop.com. Once again, OrganifiShop.com. And the keyword is Wrestling15.
Sounds like a winner to me, man.
Sounds like a winner to me. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Catch you next week.